Have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've entitled this message this morning, I've made a mistake, what do I do? I've made a mistake, what do I do? You know, basically what I want to talk to you about this morning is how to correct mistakes in your life. You know, I wrote this down. We all make mistakes. I think about this. Kids make mistakes. I remember when I was a kid, I've always been pretty confident in what I knew and what I thought I knew. I remember we had a church, and if I remember correctly, it's been a long time because I was really young, like 5 years old, but I can fuzzy. I'll try not to lie today, okay? But my memory serves me correctly. We were at Macedonia Free Will Baptist Church. And I need to go to the bathroom. And I thought I knew where the bathroom was at. And my mother, and I don't know if this is true or not, but a lot of times this is what it was. I thought I knew, my mother would try to tell me, and I would say, I got it. You know, something like that. And I feel like that's what happened that day. So you had to walk down I don't know if I was right or not, but I walked, the bathroom was supposed to be in the back. And I think it was. So I walked down the aisle, I go back, and I thought on the first door on the left, the first door on the left was the choir loft. So basically, I opened the door, and there were people looking at me. And I shut that door. That's all I can remember. I was like 5 years old. That's all I can remember about that story. My point here is I made a mistake as a kid. The only mistake I've ever made. And teenagers make mistakes. I mean, I won't give you all the details, but I hit a parked car in a parking lot one time. You know, parked car, you know. I'll tell you why, though. It's because I was at high school. I rolled my window down, and I was trying to get my radio up as loud as it would go. And I was looking at my radio instead of looking at driving, so. Anyway, adults make mistakes. Parents make mistakes. Grandparents make mistakes. Employers make mistakes. Employees make mistakes. Waiters make mistakes. Cashiers make mistakes. Doctors make mistakes. Businessmen make mistakes. Spouses make mistakes. Unsaved make mistakes. And then the most important one today is Christians make mistakes. I want you to understand that. Christians make mistakes. And the Bible proves that. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. You know what that tells me? That saved people make mistakes. 1 John 1:9 said, if we, talking about Christian, confess our sin. This morning, in this room, we all make mistakes, okay? Which is funny, because we always like to judge people harder on their mistake, but none of us are perfect, you know, which some of the looks I was getting a minute ago, we all make mistakes. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. That's what I want to say sometimes. You're not perfect either. None of us are perfect. And we can go there in this room right now, you know, one by one, and you can name mistakes you've made this week. You can probably name a mistake you made today. Already. You say, what does it have to do with our text today? Everything. The believers at Corinth had made a mistake. We know the two biggest ones, mainly being divided and saying that man's wisdom was better than God's wisdom. That's basically it. Paul has addressed it in length. But so far, he just explained what's going on. And he also explained doctrine. Today, in verses 18 through 23, what I believe, in my personal opinion, is a little more practical. In these verses, he's going to give some practical advice to everything he said. And he's talking about how that God is wiser than man. He's talking about how you shouldn't be divided. But in my opinion, right here, he gives some practical things to do to be corrected. How to get back right. How to correct your mistake. Let's read these verses. Verses 18 says this. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. You can see the context all day long. Glorying in man, Phil or Peter and Apollos, don't do that. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all of yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Let's pray this morning. Father, I ask you right now for a few minutes that we learn what your words are. Not what I've learned, not what I've come up with. My Lord, please help us to learn and understand your word more today. Lord, help us apply it to our life, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take this and correct the mistakes in our life. In Christ's name, amen. So this morning, what I want to do, here's the theme. How to correct the mistakes in your life. And obviously, we're talking about spiritual mistakes. How do we correct them? Paul here, in my opinion, gives some practical advice how to do that. How to correct mistakes. In my opinion, the text breaks down into two points. Due to two imperatives. If you look at verse 18, you'll see the word deceive. That word is a present imperative active. It's an imperative in the present tense. Then if you go on down to verse 21, it says, let no man glory. That word glory is also a present imperative. Okay? So in my opinion, them two things are really the key to this passage. Now there is another imperative in verse 18, but it's in past tense, okay? So basically, we're going to look at these two imperatives and see what Paul tells the believer to correct, how to correct their mistakes. Number one, my goal today is to be done on time, okay? I don't want to be a long-winded preacher. I've been very upset since last week. I went to 15 till, and I don't want to be that guy, okay? I may never be like Adrian Rogers, but I can always end on time. So like that, and most people like that's the best quality. My aunt used to say a good sermon had a good beginning and a good ending and not far in between. That's what she said. And I was also taught in school that if you can't strike oil in 30 minutes, quit drilling. So what's funny is that we were taught that, but most of us don't practice that. So anyway, but I'm going to try to practice that to the best of my ability this morning. Number one, we don't have slides today because Matt's gone and Mitzi's downstairs because my wife left me for a few days. So anyway. But number one, there's only two points this morning. Number one, how to correct mistakes in your life. Number one, realize you have been deceived. Realize that you have been deceived. That's what it says there. The first thing he said in verse 18, let no man deceive himself. They have been deceived. See, the reality is anytime you make a mistake, even an honest mistake, you have been deceived. Have you ever said this after you messed up? Maybe you're working on something, and you said this. I thought I knew what I was doing. That was an honest mistake, wasn't it? I thought I knew what I was doing. So what that tells me is that you didn't know what you was doing. So that means that you deceived yourself into thinking that you knew what you was doing. Think about that for a while. Because you go into something and you're like, I know what to do, and then later you say, I didn't know what I was doing. So that means that you were deceived into thinking you knew what you were doing. Anytime we make a mistake spiritually, we are deceived into thinking the Bible was not correct. That's what Eve did, right? When a serpent tempted her, she basically was deceived into thinking God's not right. God is not right. He's made a mistake. That would happen anytime we make a mistake. We are deceived. And to making the wrong choice. I mean, think about when you're lost while driving. Now, I'm fairly good with directions. I'm fairly good with knowing where to go. I mean, I most of the time. But if I get lost, the only way that I'm going to be, I don't think there's a real word, unlost, is to admit that I'm lost. To admit that I have been deceived, I have deceived myself into thinking I knew the correct way to go. So the first thing I got to realize if I'm lost, is I got to say this. I was wrong. I was deceived. I thought I knew the direction, but I didn't. Paul thought that it was so important for them to realize that they had been deceived. He commanded them not to be deceived. He commanded them. He didn't say, hey, you were deceived. No, he said, be not deceived. He commanded them to quit being deceived and thinking they were right. John Phillips said this, "The first thing to do is to recognize one's self-deception. By no means is that anything to do." The reason many of us are struggling spiritually, the reason some of us are struggling financially, the reason some of us are struggling in our lives, in our marriage, and maybe our relationships with our kids and things like that, is because we refuse to accept the fact that we have been deceived into thinking that our way is better than God's way. That's what happened. And no matter what it is, we're convinced a lot of times. I don't listen to Dave Ramsey much, but if you listen to Dave Ramsey's show, all these people call about finances, and he'll tell them what to do. And you can tell the ones not going to do it. Nah, I can't do that. You know what it is? They're still convinced that their way is better than Dave Ramsey's way. Which, Dave Ramsey's a pretty smart guy. I wouldn't argue with him financially. Same thing is true spiritually. You'll hear people say, you need to do this, you need to do that. The Bible says so. But they go out and they don't do it. Why? Because they're still believing a lie that their way is better than God's way. And if we're ever going to correct ourselves spiritually, we have to quit being deceived that you think you know more than God. So here's the first thing. Letter A here is the problem. Here's the context. Based on what I want to tell you. The Corinthians had been deceived into thinking that they were to be loyal to one man. They've been deceived into thinking that the church was supposed to be divided. They have been deceived into thinking that man's wisdom was better than God's wisdom. Here's the thing. So here's the problem. They have been deceived. They have been deceived. Now, let me ask you this. What are you deceived about today? I mean, are you deceived that it's okay to lie to your boss? Are you deceived in thinking it's okay to lie to your spouse or to your kid? Or are you deceived that it's okay to commit adultery as long as you love them? Or that you plan on getting married? Are you deceived in thinking that it's okay to look at porn? Are you deceived in thinking it's okay to be a part-time Christian? Are you deceived in thinking that it's okay to be bitter? Are you deceived in thinking that it's okay not to love everybody? Are you deceived in thinking it's okay to go wink in and wink out and not witness to somebody? See, most of y'all probably have a problem with the first part of that list. But as we go down, being bitter, not loving anyone, not witnessing. Are you deceived in thinking that it's okay to worry? I just can't help it. You're being deceived. You're never going to overcome that sin in your life if you don't first stop saying that it's okay. Are you deceived in thinking it's okay to gossip? I said one thing this morning, and I could tell that some of y'all didn't like it. Are you going to go home and talk about it to other people now? Oh, it's okay. No. If you've got a problem, something, come talk to me. I've had somebody do that, and I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad when someone was concerned about something, they came to me and talked to me about it. That's how it's supposed to be. I don't have a problem with that all day long. That's the best thing to do. But have you been deceived? What today? What aren't you deceived? You may not be deceived like they were. You probably know, most of you say, I know the Bible. And at least you would say that the Bible is smarter than me. God is smarter. Now, you may not be saying that with your actions, but at least you probably would say that. You would probably say, no, the church is not supposed to be divided. But what are you being deceived about today? I'm afraid we're all being deceived if we're not careful. It's not okay to do anything that the Bible condemns. If you're doing something that the Bible condemns, then that's not okay. And if you say the Bible says this, but I'm going to do it anyway, you're being deceived. That's plain and simple. So here's the question. I can't answer that for you. I can't answer what you're being deceived about today. But I can look at the prescription. The second thing I want to look at here is the prescription. How do we overcome being deceived? We have a problem. I think it's in the church, every church. It's a problem with me and a problem with each one of you. We're not careful. We have things that we're deceived about. That we say we know more than God. So how do we overcome that? How do we correct that? Number one of the prescription, number one, swallow your pride. Swallow your pride. Look at verse 18. And it says here, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So, what Paul says here, see, the first thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to kill your reputation. For them to correct their mistake, they're going to have to swallow their pride, and they're going to have to quit caring about what everyone else thinks about them and care about what God thinks about them. He said, you're going to have to be viewed as fools to the world. So all them folks outside the church sitting around, he says, you're going to have to look at this, and you're going to have to humble yourself, and you're going to have to let people think that you're a fool. Well, that takes some humility, doesn't it? And it takes swallowing your pride. They were going to have to actively admit that their wisdom was wrong and God's wisdom was right. But he doesn't stop there. He gives them a reality. Look at verse 19. He said this, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. He said, the thoughts of the wise, they are vain. What is he saying? He's saying, these Corinthians, and all the things that you're so proud about, he said, it's nothing. He said, it's foolish. You ever had a kid who thought they were good at something, and you had to humble them, like a coach had to say, you're not as good as you think you are? Basically, trying to get them to swallow their pride. That's what he's doing. He said, look, what you're so proud in, he said, it's foolishness. It's empty. It's vain. That's what he's saying. All these statements make a point that the wisdom that you thought was so great was not the answer at all. And for them, Paul said, for you to resolve this mistake, you have to realize that you're wrong. You know what that takes? That takes swallowing some pride. Hey, I'm the same way. Swallowing some pride. We have to do it all the time. But I'm afraid what keeps us back so many times, when you hear it, but then you never do it. Because what it takes swallowing that pride. It's a big pill sometimes. It takes saying, man, I was wrong. Then you're never going to correct whatever's wrong in your life. And if you don't, swallow your pride. You have to humble yourself. You never will improve in anything if you don't first swallow your pride. I mean, like that. The kid, I taught at a Christian school where that basketball was big. But a kid who was good in basketball, he would never get any better if he refused to listen to the coach. If he refused to realize that he wasn't great at everything. The coach who told the kid, hey, you need to learn to dribble with your left hand. Because it takes about 5 seconds for the other team to realize you can't go left. So all they got to do is take the right side away, his right side away, and they can shut you down. The kid who refuses, like, no, I'm great at everything. But the kid who swallows his pride and says, you know what? I'm not great as I thought I was. That's the person who can improve. That's the person who can correct his mistakes. That's what's going to happen today. Today, I don't know, no matter what it is, you know, when have you been deceived into thinking that it's right? The first thing you got to do, you got to say, okay, I was wrong. I'm about to swallow my pride. I was wrong. I've been wrong. How can I correct this? That's the first step. Because if you're not willing to swallow your pride, then no matter what I say each Sunday, it's going to fall upon deaf ears. And it's basically like the soil, and it's not what this parable is about, it's like the soil and the seed that's on stony ground. And it just disappears. The birds pick it up. If you're not willing each week to say, okay, I'm willing to swallow my pride, then you're not going to quit being deceived. So to overcome, to correct the mistakes in your life, you have to swallow your pride and say, I was wrong. And that's hard to do. That's very hard to do. To overcome being deceived, you have to swallow your pride, but you also have to seek the truth. Look at verse 19. This is what Paul said here. Paul says, he gave some truth. He said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, or with God. In verse 19, he also said, he that takes the wise in their own craftiness. That's a quote from Job 5:13. The word grasp means to take with your hand. And he basically said, God will reckon with you. And if you live by pride, God will get you what you reap what you sow. Remember Jacob? You know how wise Jacob was? How crafty Jacob was? And he treated Esau? What happened later? Who did God send in his path? Laban. Now, didn't Laban pull a number on him? He made him marry an ugly woman. I mean, think about it. That's what tender-eyed means. She was not pretty. Bottom line, get upset, but, you know. But then this, I mean, if you read the Bible for what it really said, some of y'all will be offended all the time. Because I faithfully what it said. She was ugly. Laban made him work 7 years for an ugly woman. He had a church. She was never going to get married if she didn't. And he took Jacob in his own craftiness. That's what he's saying. He said, look, you're not quiet. Paul's telling him the truth. You can keep going down this road, but the truth is, your wisdom's not so great. He even says in verse 20, I've read the verse, but it says here that the thoughts of the wise are vain. The word vain means this. I thought it was interesting. It does not, see what it said literally in one definition. It doesn't get you anywhere. Aimless, leading to nothing, or no object or end. They give a few illustrations. Building a house on sand. Chasing the wind. Shooting at the stars. Pursuing one's shadow. You know what that means? That means that the thoughts of the wise are nothing. You can shoot at stars all day, but you're not going to accomplish anything. You can pursue your own shadow, but you're never going to catch it. You can chase the wind, but you're not going to catch it. Paul is giving them the truth about man's wisdom in order for them to overcome being deceived. You know what that tells me? That to ensure that we're not being deceived, we have to seek the truth. Here's what John Phillips said. The best way, if not the only way, is to read the Word of God with an open mind and a teachable spirit so that the Holy Spirit can reveal our self-deception to us. The Word of God is what's going to keep us from being deceived. Okay? That's what's going to keep us from being deceived. So what we got to do? We first got to swallow our pride. Say, I was wrong. That's probably something to do. It's probably good to do that every morning. Say, you know what? I know I'm going to be wrong today. And then seek the truth. And if there's ever a reason to advocate why you should read the Bible on a regular basis, it's why. Because you're wrong. And when it comes to your own feeling and your own desires, you're most of the time going to be wrong. So we need to seek the truth. The truth is what's going to keep us from making mistakes. And it's what's going to correct our mistakes. To correct our mistakes, our sin, we must realize that we've been deceived. And we must do that by swallowing our pride and seeking the truth. So first of all, we need to realize that we've been deceived. Number two, in the second point. It's going to be really profound, are you ready? Repent of your sins. Repent of your sin. Now, I'll tell you in a minute, but I'm going to say it now. Repent means you're going in this direction. You stop and say, whoa, I was wrong. Then you go in the right direction. And the problem with most people in the church, if we go this way, I'm wrong going this direction. I was wrong. That's not repentance. I'm afraid we have a lot of that going on. We have a lot of people. I'm guilty of that. We acknowledge that we're wrong, but acknowledging that you're wrong is not enough. We have to stop and go the other direction. And that's exactly what Paul tells them. He says, repent of your sin. Here's letter A, the iniquity. Look at verse 21. He says this, therefore, let no man glory in men. So what was the iniquity? They were glorifying in the abilities of men. Some were glorifying in Paul's ability. I read this behind somebody, but Paul, most people who like Paul, you know why they liked him? Because he was strong. He was a strong man. I mean, he planted churches all over Asia Minor. He practically wrote the book on missions. He wrote a large part of the New Testament. There's no doubt when Paul walked in, he was a strong man. He had a strong presence about him. And some people like that. Some people can't stand that. But some people love to have a strong leader. And Paul was strong. They some people glorified in that. Oh, look how strong Paul is. Paul said, no, don't do that. And see, you had Apollos. Some people glorified in his style. Look what John Phillips said. They listened spellbound when he spoke. He had the eloquence of an archangel, it seemed. There was somebody who said, oh man, Apollos, he is such a good speaker. I just could let him speak all day. And I mean, that's not a bad quality, but that's not why I'm supposed to listen to preaching. I'm supposed to let the preaching to learn the word of God. So if they can do both, that's great. Some people glorified in Peter for his stand. Peter was the one, and he stood for the old paths. He preached at Pentecost. He knew the mind of Jesus. He probably that one that, and nothing really wrong with you. I'm getting where I'm staying, and I'm not changing. And we love him. Oh, bless God. Woo! You know, well, you know, not necessarily bad, but not necessarily necessary either. And so what they were doing, they were all glorifying in each of their strengths. But what really took all that together, really, to make a good church, a balanced church. You take one of them things, it's going to be out of balance. And that's why Paul said last week, said that we're all together. He took all that together. We see the iniquity, but now we see the imperative. And I've already pointed this out, but there in that verse, he said, let no man glory. I've already said it, but that is a command. He basically said, let no man glory in men. That's what we see. Basically what he's saying there is stop glorifying in men. That's the interpretation. He basically the glory in men. He says, stop. Stop. That's repentance. Stop. He's not going to say, well, I'm just a weak. I'm just weak. I can't help myself. No, he says, stop it. And go in the other direction. Just stop it. What Paul is saying today, he's saying, you have been sinning by praising man over God. And what you need to do to correct this is to stop doing it. Plain and simple. Stop doing it. And then you need to quit praising man and start praising God. That is a repentance in a nutshell. Stop doing what you're doing wrong and start doing what you're supposed to. And that's, in this case, praising God. I'm afraid that many of us, we hear the word of God, we even say, I know I've been deceived, but that's as far as it goes. I know what you said or what the word of God said was right. And not what I say is right. And you might say, I know that you interpret that correctly. And you explain it correctly. That's what the Bible said. That's all I'm going to do. That's not what we're supposed to do. To correct the problem, we have to go and step from. We have to repent. If you never correct the mistake, you've not repented. And got kind of go with what James said. What did James say? Be not hearers only, but be doers. I'm afraid even in the congregation, we have a lot of hearers. Once again, did anybody invite anyone to church last week? I said something last week. You'll get a tear in your eye if I talk about somebody unsaved. But haven't done anything about it. You're not repentant if you don't change your direction. You say, I know I need to witness somebody. And I'm talking to myself as well sometimes. I know I need to do more. I know I need to do more. I know I need to do more. And then just turn around and do more. Plain and simple. See, we don't want to hear that though. But it's the truth. It's the truth. I know I'm not getting amen. I know I'm going to get a lot of solemn looks. That's okay. But it's not enough to say, I know that's wrong. I know I don't need to flirt with that woman at work. I know I don't need to be lying all the time. I know. Well, the correct mistake, you have to repent, which is something that's not preached upon anymore. We are to quit. We are to quit. And it can be anything. It can be quit adultery, quit lying, quit worrying. You have to quit. You've not repented if you're not quit. Now, I understand that we're not perfect. But we have to repent. Let us see, we just don't really go necessarily with my direction today, but I want to bring out the third thing we see here. We see the iniquity, we see the imperative, but then we see the inheritance. Okay, the inheritance. Verse 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, okay? So we'll stop there. What he's saying there, and he's addressing the fact that they're saying, no, I belong to Peter, and I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Apollos. And Peter's saying, no. They belong to you. You don't belong to them. They belong to you. We are your servants. not the other way around. But then he says this. And he also says this, that Christians inherit all things through Christ. It said there, of the world, of life, death, and things present to come, all are yours. This is just a lot of statement, the fact that one day we'll be, you know, we'll be on the world after the millennial reign. We'll possess, we have life after death. We have victory over death. That's a statement of that. So let me leave it with what Warren Wimpy said. If all things belong to all believers, then why should there be competition and rivalry? Get your eyes off of men, keep your eyes on Christ. That's what he's saying by all that. He said, look, you're in a fight and you're arguing over everything. He said, what really matters is that we own everything. And his point here is to say this. Quit focusing on each other and focus on Christ. What he's saying. He's making a point here. He's trying to get them to see one thing. That they are wrong. That's all. I mean, we get in a theological debate about what does it mean that we own the world. And we can talk about that later. But what Paul is doing here, he's trying to get them to understand that we inherited everything. We've got a new life. We got the answers to life. We got life after death. All these things he's saying, and he's trying to say, why are you fighting and being combative? You don't need to do that. So in another way, what he's saying here again is he's saying this. You are wrong. And he's trying to get them to repent. And here's the thing. The only way you're ever going to repent is to realize you're wrong. That's it. You're never going to repent of whatever you're being deceived of until you realize that you are wrong. That's what he's trying to say. And he's trying to get it very practical. And he's just saying, look, what he's telling them, he said, what they need to do, he said, you need to repent. You need to stop. He gave them all the arguments. He's been the lawyer, you know, God's wisdom, man's wisdom, all these things. He gave illustrations about a building and about, a farm and a garden. And he did all that theological stuff. And then when it gets down to it, he says this. Okay, I've told you all this. Now what you need to do, you need to repent. That's a very simple message. And that's a message that we need today. John the Baptist, he had that message to repent. And what not popular was it? He told Herod to repent, remember? And eventually, because of the woman, the mother, he was killed. See, repentance is not a popular message, but it's a biblical message. In conclusion, how do we correct the mistakes in our life? Two things. Realize you have been deceived. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is in your life. That's not really for me to point out. Not even I could. I can't. Realize that you've been deceived. The problem is so many people, so many Christians, who are just bebopping along, and they don't even realize that they've been deceived. Well, you might have been deceived. I mean, there's so many people I can talk to, you know, they'll say, you know, when they're like bitterness. There's so many people, I think, so many believers who are sitting there bitter, who think they're justified. You're being deceived. You're thinking that's right. It's not. A lot of believers, and I'm in this category, we think worrying is okay. We justify it. You know, if you're worrying all the time, you're being deceived and thinking that's okay. You're not. It's not. And you're never going to overcome that until you realize, I have been deceived. And that takes two things. Swallowing your pride and seeking the truth. But here's the deal. The second thing here is to repent of your sin. I think the thing, I don't really care if you come down here or not. Because truthfully, you come down here probably for me and just make me feel good. And that's not what it's about. But I do think mentally or a visible picture, whether you do it at your seat or come down here, you know, we need a moment, whether we do it, just at our seat, but we need a time we get down before God and say, God, I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm afraid the longer we live as Christian, we have a tendency not to do that as much. I have a tendency not to say that as much. Oh, when we get saved, we're fine. Lord, I was wrong, my wicked life. But sometimes after salvation, we start thinking, hey, I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good. And we're deceived and thinking, no. I mean, I can tell you so many things that like acceptable sins of the church. I won't go through that again. We have all these things that we're doing wrong that we don't even think is wrong. What we need to do is we need to repent. We need to ask God. And whether it's down here, whether it's at home, whether it's Monday morning, You just say, I was wrong. This attitude of, well, I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to change. That's wrong. And you say, why are you preaching that so hard? Because I'm the same way. I'll just say it. I don't care. I love country music. Anybody like country music? I was raised up listening to it. That's a struggle of mine, sometimes. But deep down, I know it's wrong. Now, do I think every song's wrong? No. Do I think, you know, Walk Through High Cotton with Alabama is necessarily wrong? No. There's a lot of songs that are wrong. Talk about getting drunk, cheating on your wife. That's wrong. That's wrong. So what do we have to do? Have to stop it. Have to stop it. Bottom line. That's all it comes down to. I'm wrong, God's right. That's it. Nothing else. I can say, well, this is, I can make all these statements I want to, but it doesn't matter. God's right, I'm wrong. And no, that takes swallowing pride. That's, and what happens all the time, and I deceive myself, think, well, it's not that bad. It is that bad. Listen to some of the music. Listen to the words of it. Listen to the words of it. Now, like I said, I don't think every song's wrong. You know, I think some fine, I guess. But listen to it. Well, compare it to the Bible. What is it promoting? And not promoting God, and not promoting holiness. Neither is some Southern gospel. I don't understand how Southern gospel, like, you like the Gaithers? I had my dad this last night, yet they sing with the Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys. Anyway, you know, I don't, you know, they love that, you know, I don't get that. I saw that on TV last night on PBS. You know, the Oak Ridge Boys, they sing Elvira, you know. That's not a holy song. Think about the words of that song. You know, I don't get all that. But anyway. But you know, we gotta repent. Basically, when it comes to, and I gotta say, I'm wrong. God's right. And I can't swallow my pride. And anyhow, you may happy. I may have to do it more than once. That's what it comes down to. And that's what each of us need to do. But most of the time, we're too proud to actually do it. I'm too proud to say it to y'all, and most of us are too proud to say it to God. We're too proud to say it to ourselves. So this morning, two things. Realize that you have been deceived. And repent of your sin. And the piano player comes up, and y'all stand to your feet, head bowed and eye closed, just because of respect. You can pray to God with your eyes open, but out of respect for other people, and ask you to bow your heads. And I want to ask you, have you made some mistakes? And the answer to that question is yes. We've all made mistakes. Here's my next question. Have you done anything to correct that mistake? The two things that I believe the text teaches, and what Paul is screaming to them Corinthians, he's saying, yeah, quit being this, or realize that you have been deceived. And number two, repent. That's it. That's it. So simple. It ain't got to be complicated. The Word of God rarely is complicated, really. And if you have been mistaken, you made a mistake, maybe it's in your own personal life, just you and God know about it. Maybe it's something to do in your marriage. Maybe it's something to do at work. Maybe it's something to do with some family members. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that you've not been doing what God has told us to do. Whatever it is today, maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your worry. Like, hey, it's a real struggle not to worry. Maybe it's something like that. Whatever it is that they begin to play, whether at the altar or at your seat, I want to encourage you to swallow your pride and ask God to forgive you. And repent. See, God will forgive you, but you still need to repent and say that you need to stop doing what you're doing. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to do that.